Stay tuned for your 3CR podcast, featuring interviews from Bundles Fire Radio Show. 3CR is an independent community radio station in Fitzroy, Victoria, on the unceded lands of the Kulin Nation. For more information, go to www.3cr.org.au. Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the fire. My name's Robbie Thorpe, also known as Bundalini. I got a very special guest on the line straight up, other than my brother Wayne Wharton from, what's the name of Queensland? What do you call that country there, Wayne?
Out where I am.
Yeah, oh, you're kind of Mulloway, yeah?
Yeah, Murray country. This is Murray country.
Okay, yeah. Have you ever heard what the name of the old continent is, Blackfella one?
Well, I call it Woomera.
Woomera. Oh, yeah.
I call it Woomera Republic because that's what we had before they come here.
Yeah.
Before they invaded, the invasion and the wars, we had was a republic of 400 nations.
Yeah, an amazing country, amazing.
About 400 nations, but why I say Woomera Republic is because we don't all play the didgeridoo.
No.
And we all speak different languages, and we all recognise each other's sovereignty.
Yes.
But we all carry the Woomera.
That's right. Explain what a Woomera is.
Woomera is the thing that launches the spear.
Yes.
It's a thing, and I think they call the Woomera rocket range after because it launches the rockets.
Yes.
That's what they called it Woomera for, but I think
that was at the heart of our our customs law too. You couldn't enter this country without getting past those spears. So held it in good stead for a long time until the sly British came with their diseases and that.
Yeah, but I forgive my ignorance. But I just pay my respects to your people and the people that are listening to the program from around there, and I'm humbled to be able to take the time to have a yarn with you.
It's always a pleasure, Wayne, to have you yarn and buzz. You're a warrior man, and really appreciate what you do, and it's always a pleasure, to talk to you, man.
Yeah, and it's great to see you in good health and some good things happening down there.
Yeah, I'm staying alive. Yeah.
Cord and the crew up at the fire, keeping it going. And
yes, everything's going good, mate. We also got an information night on our upcoming case against Charles III, or otherwise known as Chuck the Third.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming up on the 3rd of June, which is Mabo Day. It's a pretty significant day, actually, in terms of Whitefella law in this country.
Mm.
So it could be, it could mean something.
I was going to ask you the question about some people's interpretation of the Coe case now.
Yes, absolutely.
Have you heard anything about that?
Well, there's a professor from Melbourne University has been working on that case and discovered, with what we've always known, I thought that was one of the most amazing cases of all time, Paul Coe's case of 1979. People should check it out. I thought that was a fantastic argument in terms of our sovereign rights in this country.
Yeah, I'm just surprised no one's picked it up on it. You know, with too many people, no one's picked up on it, but, glad this person has.
Yeah, people should check that out. I know that because he was, the Coes were very much a part of the Tent Embassy experience as well.
Yeah.
And that was always, you could only talk about sovereignty there. You couldn't say and talk about anything other than that. I remember all that. And that's on the back of Coe's case, basically.
Yeah.
Poor Coe, So that's been given new life and quite timely. We never ceded our sovereignty. That's it. How do the white man get to make laws for our people? Or what's the basis of their occupation?
Well, it is. Like I say to the bus drivers and every other prick up here, where's your receipt from a black man?
Hey, do I get a free ride?
I say to him all the time, where's your receipt for a black man? And then we can start from there.
But we should have gold passes, mate, for everything in this country.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think our corporate fellows, countrymen, give us up, you know, and they don't realise they wouldn't have the fucking corporate jobs if people like yourselves and Paul Coe and
yes.
other McGuinnesses and families around didn't stand up, you know.
Yeah, all those amazing warriors of the resistance.
That's right.
And these corporate blacks, all they do is sell you out. That's why they get a job.
Yeah, but we got them up here talking about the Olympics. They're already bloody bartering for the jobs. They're already bartering for the contracts.
Shameful.
Yeah, you know, they don't give a shit about the civil rights of the 10-year-olds or anything. But I don't know.
There is an answer to that where we can get the best of both worlds, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't begrudge
them
doing it, but
you know the way to do it, Wayne, is have a thing called a sovereign body, which is the people, who have a corporate arm, which can be removed if it doesn't do its job.
The corporate fellows, I think I'll go simpler than that. I think they got to fund the resistance. They're going to go and make a living and make a fortune out of collaboration. Well, they got to put something back into the resistance. Whether it's 10% or whatever, you know.
Yeah, well, if you can get them to do that, you're a miracle worker.
Well, I keep reminding them all the time.
Yeah,
you know,
shame on them. Yeah, they should be doing that.
Yeah, you know, every time we get to, you know, you got these bloody blokes like Josh Kramer running around wanting the people to put in class actions, and the only people that get money out of it is him and his white lawyer mates. You know,
is that fireplace still happening up there at was it Victoria Park or something like that?
Yeah, we're still going with that. We had a big thing on Saturday. We had a great thing on Saturday. It's being run by the what I call the traditional owners anyway. But
that's good to hear. That's really good to hear, Bruce, because.
You know, Carlton.
The mob from Camp Stubbornly, we send our love and support to your mob up there. Yeah. And it'd be great if we could. We might even think of coming up for a trip, maybe.
Yes, look, by all means, we're 30-32, but.
It's a fair way out, but.
Me and you have seen some Olympic Games, we've seen some G20s.
Some Commonwealth Games.
We've seen the Commonwealth Games twice in Melbourne, you know.
Well, in Musgrave Park too, in Brisbane. Yeah. That was my first Commonwealth Games.
That was my first major one.
Is that where me and you met? 82.
Yeah, you were running the 100.
I think we was in the same. I won that 100-meter race too. That lad Grogan robbed me, mate. It was a photo finish, but I.
That, I think between you and my brother, you will have that debate till the day they. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't go with it.
No, I'm pretty sure I won that. I crossed that line first. That was a buzz, though, wasn't it? Wasn't that a buzz, Musgrave Park? That was fantastic.
Well, that's the best thing that I've seen a return to Woomera. Than we ever had, mate.
It was so inspiring. I remember it, you know, that tent city in Musgrave Park and all the things that happened there. We were there for a couple of weeks, at least.
Yeah, usually 3 weeks.
3 weeks. It was such a beautiful time. Yeah, fun memories. And met lots of beautiful people from your country there, including the legend, the late Lionel Fogarty now. He was very much a part of all that.
Brother,
lost a lot of people since then, Wayne.
Oh, look, we've had some great teachers.
Dennis,
that's why I say to the young people, what I'm talking to you about, mate, is only because I was able to have so many great teachers.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I'm similar, you know. One of the best teachers for me was the late Dennis Walker. You know, he's very prominent in that time.
And I said, you know, this stuff that we, me and you and other people of our time try to convey to the young people is the teachings of those so many people, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not our, you know, we don't try to be any, you know, whatever. It's not our thoughts. These are all the stuff that we've been able to portion enough to gather from those people over many years, over 40 years, 50 years.
One of the things I do remember from that time, we were marching, Wayne, and Senator Neville Bonner stood in front of us. He stood in front of the march, which was a bad mistake because we just walked straight over the top of him.
Yeah.
And his fancy suit had stop footmarks on it as well. Anyway, he was a good man and done his best for his country, I suppose. But, you know, I think he was the first Aboriginal senator of all, wasn't he?
But what people got to remember, he was given that seat by the Liberal Party.
Yeah.
It was a blue ribbon. Right. You couldn't lose it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
okay.
What we had in Queensland, we had an organisation called OPAL.
Yes, I'm
One People of Australia League, right? And the OPAL was made up of Liberal Party doctors and their wives and a whole lot of Liberal people and Aboriginal people. And a lot of my mum and other people, they were all the early nurses and domestics for the private doctors in their private hospitals.
Was Auntie Kath Ujaru-Runuckle involved with that?
She was a part of it until they separated and then they created the tribal council.
Okay. She was very radical.
Well, her and old Don Davison and all them mob.
There was a Don Brady there somewhere in the mix too,
Uncle Don. They were all part of OPAL in the original days.
What did they call Don? The punch and preacher.
Yeah, punch and pastor.
The punch and pastor. it's amazing stuff, mate. Yeah.
And then, so they went from OPAL to, that's when Dennis broke out into the Black Power movement, and the Uncle Don and Cass and Don Davison and Sugar and them all started the Tribal Council. And then my mum and dad and them stayed with OPAL. But then that's when Neville got the nod for the seat.
All right.
So they asked OPAL to nominate someone and Neville took up the job.
You got all this history written down somewhere?
No, I haven't written it down because I don't like people plagiarising. I'm sick of people plagiarising.
We should write a book, capture it in a book somehow. And you know.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to that stage now. I'm home on country.
Yeah.
And I'm home building
cabins. You should get a writer's grant, 100 grand, sit on country for a couple of weeks. Couple of months.
You are.
No, that'd be the plan.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I wouldn't mind doing something like that. And put all that history down because it's really important, you know. It's.
Yeah. Well, it's what's his name? I'm just burying my uncle at the end of the month. Uncle Herb Wharton.
Oh, okay.
And he started writing when he was 50. And if you Google him, you'll find out he's written about 7 books, a couple of poetry books, got a couple of doctorates from different universities.
Mm, that's cool. Yeah,
but he died at 94, so he had a good innings.
Oh, right. Jeez, that's good.
And in the local hospital here, he had a good innings. And but like I said, he's a bit like Eric Wilmot. Remember Eric Wilmot?
Yeah, the Rainbow Warrior.
Yeah, well, he didn't read or write until he was 47.
Oh, jeez.
He busted his back, I think, in a horse accident. And he was laying up in hospital and he decided to become an academic.
Oh, God. I didn't know that.
He was from his back country.
Gee, I didn't realize. So we need to know all this, mate. Like, I think it's fantastic. Yeah. So what's the current news?
Getting back to the Olympics, is that there's a good crew. We spoke about it on Saturday. Had about a couple of hundred turned up. It's 2032, so there's a bit of way off. But they're talking about they did a shifty up here. They changed the title of the land from Crown land to Freehold land.
Oh,
to build this stadium and that there. But what is at the bottom of this stadium and at that park is that that's traditional land, and the land is the position of a spring.
So it's significant.
It's a spring. And this spring dates back to the beginning of time.
There you go. There's the claim on it.
And so we're saying, and we're trying to get us... You ever heard of a place in northern England called Bath?
Yes.
Bath, and they
not that they ever had a bath over there in England.
I washed my face there one day. I was coming back to me. I think something followed me from bloody somewhere.
I think they used to go there, everyone used to go there once a year, didn't they, to have a bath?
Yeah.
You have to watch your clothes, those snowdroppers too, you'll steal your clothes over there.
But if that particular spring can have World Heritage listing, why can't this spring in this particular park? So I'm talking to people, I'm trying to encourage people, any experts to come up and start an archaeological dig around the spring.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably be better.
Because where that spring is, you know our people, where that spring is, there would have been a community.
Yeah, there would be, absolutely. Yeah, there'd be burials there, everything, mate. Just take it anyway, see what they do. Don't let them develop on it.
There's one camp, we've got our army in there, young warriors, young Derek and his dad.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in there at the warrior camp. But then we've got the TOs in the other, they've got a separate camp. And then we've got an allies camp, so they're all there.
Yeah, all great. That's fantastic.
So you got a whole lot of different people. Some people aren't against the games, but some people are against the stadium, you know? So you've got a whole lot of different interest groups. But they've got to work together, and hopefully we can save that spring.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's a perfect scenario, Buzz. And hope I'm still around to make sure to be there in 2032. You know.
Yeah, well, and we're trying to. Woomera's been, you know how we always all the delegations that we had, Robbie. You know, we had people going to in the late 70s and the 80s. We had delegations going to Russia, to China, Germany,
Libya,
to Libya. You know, Gaddafi. What was the old mate from the PLO? He was Shorty O'Neill's mate.
Yes, yes, Arafat.
Yes, Arafat. Yeah, him and Yasser.
We didn't get to Cuba though, did we?
Yeah, we got to Cuba.
Okay.
But I think, and we've got to go back and revisit all those.
Absolutely,
places.
Particularly now, we're actually looking for a country to take us to the international court justice.
Yeah,
ICJ.
You know, I think that's where Coe was going before he got sidetracked, I think.
Yeah, and with the promise of the National Aboriginal Islander Legal Service, I think it sidetracked us.
Yes. When they got funded.
Yeah, when they got funded, that took the steam out of the sails a bit.
Yes, and then the New South Wales Land Council, the corporates get in there and just have to look at, the big delegation last month all went to the UN. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Justin Mohammed.
Yeah.
Les Melzer, a young fella called Steve Mann. And what the bloody hell they're doing there, nobody knows, because they had no mandate to be there.
They're not representative at all.
And this is what these other countries in the world have to be told, that these people fronting up there are funded by the government to be there to sell us out.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I don't mix bloody names. I'll call a dog a dog and white lady.
Well, hopefully, Wayne, our court case can open it up a bit You know, I've done this on, we've done it on our own here, so we don't rely on any of them bullshitters. Now, a lot of mob went and worked with the UN for over 50 years, I reckon, you know.
Mel's has been sniffing around there for 40 years.
Oh, it's a huge time. A lot, you know, they come up with his UNDRIP. That's useless. And only Uncle Ozzy. You know, they spent a lot of time in that UN business, and nothing came of it.
No.
So you know, but we're looking for a country to take us to the international court.
Yeah.
And
I think that the point about establishing the relationships with countries like the Kanaki delegation that we just hosted.
Yes. How did they go when they left home? Did they have a good time?
I think it gave them great inspiration. It gave them great hope.
Yeah, fantastic. And, beautiful people.
Really, really humbling.
Yes.
And the credit has to be given to the allies on the ground down there. You know, young Kieran and the Black People's Union, you guys.
Yeah. Got Cassius. I got, you know, Cassius down here, Cassius. He's sitting in the studio with me right now.
Hi, Uncle Coco. How are you going?
G'day. How are you?
He's one of them you're talking about. And
Yeah,
we've got a gig on tonight. It's called an information night for the court case coming up on June the 3rd.
I think what we did with Cassius, and to thank you and on behalf of those people, is that I think what we proved is that we could run an East Coast tour, you know, for 6 or 7 delegates.
And, yes. Well, thanks to you for that too, Wayne. You pushed it and made it happen as well.
Yeah, a lot of corporate companies wouldn't have been able to do that on a bloody $250,000 budget.
No, that's right. You're definitely right. And they really enjoyed it. I think that mob, when it came down to Camp Sovereignty, and we had a panel discussion that night as well, and they really seemed to enjoy their time there as well. And
I can tell you because the young people, mate, and the capabilities of our movement at the moment is capable of doing that international stuff as well as the national and the local stuff, and I think I think we're on a good path, and we just have to strengthen that.
I reckon you're right, brother, and these young fellas down here, the ones I work with, actually renewed my faith in humanity, restored my faith in humanity, actually. I love them, and I spend all my time with these fellas. It's okay.
Well, that's what I call the period now. This is the period in the world development where it's not about imperialism and democracy, or it's about humanity.
Yes.
And and humanity and accountability. And, you know, it's a shame to say that places like the UN has a lot to be desired, you know. It's identified itself as a toothless tiger, not being able to do anything about Gaza or North Africa.
It's a bit of a concern at the moment, Gaza, with some of our crew over there being apprehended or...
Yeah, well, we haven't heard from young Sam in 48 hours.
Yeah, okay.
And so that, and he's, you know, the strong family of Watsons.
Yeah, okay. He's a Watson, is he? Yeah.
Young Sam Watson.
Jesus. I'm worried about him. And they're very brave to be up to go and do that in the first place.
But some of our people are picketing the political offices up here in Foreign Affairs departments.
Should be so looking at these
young people down there that want something to do, go and protest in the Foreign Affairs office anywhere. And
we should be looking at the Israeli embassies as well.
Yes, and then going to the Israeli embassy.
So anything happened to those people, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, they talk about the ISIS brides. Well, you know, the IDF soldiers should be kicked out before any ISIS brides.
Absolutely, Buzz.
Every IDF person that has served should be sent and kicked out of the country.
The same as these Nazis should be kicked out as well.
Absolutely.
Aye.
Absolutely. They want to talk about hate speech and anti-Semitism.
And immigration. The immigrants themselves.
Yeah, start with them.
Yes.
And like I said, it's the we got the 2028 Olympics that are coming up.
Which ones? Where's that?
That's over in Los Angeles. So we need a delegation to go over. And
okay, I was just thinking that, man. You want to go over there? Go and hang out in South Central.
I don't think they'll let me in, but
But Trump might be gone by then. We might be right.
I couldn't get in 1990, so I don't think they're going to let me in now.
Come with me. Come with me. I'll get you in there.
But I think we should go over and meet with the First Nations delegation.
That's a fantastic idea, bros.
And we should make that contact with them and to let them know that we are wanting to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so that we know, then we'll let them know what we intend doing for 32.
Well, they're dealing with that ICE and all that stuff over there, eh? And Trump.
There's 43 countries that are being banned from contact with America. So, we should be inviting those 43 countries to come here for games.
Keep singing it up, bros. Why don't we think about having a meeting up at Victoria Park in... Where is that exactly in York?
It's just over, just across the river.
Yeah.
From Musgrave.
Oh, mad. That'd be mad.
It's over on one of the hills.
Yeah, now let's have a reunion of Musgrave Park as well at the same time. And let's do something, eh? Let's work on that.
Yeah, but I don't know. These young people seem to have a lot of money to spend on private parties. This bloody private party they just had in Adelaide last week. Did you hear about that?
No.
They call it, what do they call it? Bloody...
the Kangaroo Jackie Jacks.
Or web or something, or... Threads or something like that, they call themselves.
Okay.
And
common
they've got some
Common Threads.
Is that the one, brother?
I think that's the one.
Well, they're backed by some pretty big money, and they were the ones that captured all the youth and backed the bloody Voice as well. So someone's backing them with a lot of money.
Right.
And they don't have any real standing. They don't represent, they don't come from either any places of authority, authorization.
That'd be the corporate generation.
They've got enough money to pay people TA and get them down there and fly them and put them in hotels. And, it's...
Well, let's turn all that around. Anyway, the Voice was a failure, who wants to be slotted into the back of the invaders' constitution anyway? That was bullshit. It was promoted by these bureaucrats, highly paid black bureaucrats. They sung all that up without any real consultation with the mob. I'm glad it failed. And, we're not ready to go into their constitution. They want to end the war first. Hey, all that sort of stuff.
No, of course not. They're a product of the British fucking government anyway.
Yeah. Listen, Wayne, I've got another interview. I'm going to talk to Juma. I don't know if you know Juma from... Arnhem Land?
No, not really. No.
I wonder.
Is he a local member up there?
No, he's a tribal mob, and he plays with words. He's a wordsmith, right? And he's a tribal man at the same time. So I said I was going to give him a bit of time.
Yeah.
So I better
You do that, but we'll catch up again.
Yeah, let's. We've got plenty to talk about.
Talk about this visit to LA. I think it's got to happen sooner than later, but we've got to send a delegation there.
Okay, as long as we go via Mexico.
Maybe a stop off at Cuba.
Yeah, Cuba, Mexico.
On the way, if you go to LA, it's only a boat ride across to Cuba.
That'd be fantastic. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, mate. Great to hear from you, brother.
No worries, bud.
All right, take care.
Peace to everybody down there, and may your fires burn forever.
Yeah, same way. And let's talk about coming up there for a conference at Victoria Park there as well.
Yo.
All All right, mate. See you later. That's Wayne Wharton from Yanjin, or out there in Cunnamulla way. Time is 36 minutes past 11. I got my offsider here, Cass. How you going, Cass?
Good. How are you going?
Good. I see you working busy out there on... You's working on the case or tonight?
Working on the case. Okay. King Charles Aboriginal Genocide case. Just lodging in. Probably going to be the final affidavit before our court hearing on the 3rd of June. The affidavit's just showing our emails that we sent to all the different UN nations back in January, requesting their support to prosecute Australia for genocide against the First Nations people.
And the last affidavit that we done, which was about 1,000 pages or something.
Yeah, 1,066.
And that just got stamped.
Yeah, that just got stamped, so we did that.
That's pretty significant.
What day was that on? Last Wednesday, we filed that. And it got stamped yesterday or the day before by the court, which is pretty amazing.
It is amazing. And where can people see this? Can they see that stuff?
Yeah. Well, we put all of our case documentation up on the website, crimescenaustralia.com, all one word. And if you just go to scroll down a bit on the front page, it should say King Charles Aboriginal Genocide Case. Click on that, and that's all the case documentation in this case. And then if you want to look at even more cases, you can go on to the main case documentation page, and that has like every case.
There's quite a number of pending cases, isn't there? Yeah. You want to tell us a little bit why they're still pending after they've been sitting there, and just the government's just unwilling and unable.
Well, yeah, the theme of that affidavit, the 1066 page one, was that the racial bias and discrimination that Aboriginal people face in the court, and demonstrated by how Uncle Robbie's cases, there's like 11 of them sitting in the Supreme Court that are just saying reviewing, which normally it takes the Supreme Court a few days to review, process yeah. stamp or reject the documents. But for some reason, in Uncle Robbie's case, there have been cases sitting there for almost 2 years, which is just completely unheard of, and it shows the racial bias within the Supreme Court and all the courts as well.
What does unceded sovereign mean to these courts? Because they're basically they're premised on the idea of terra nullis, empty land.
Well, Aboriginal sovereignty would completely destroy the courts, because the courts would then have no jurisdiction over Aboriginal people.
I wonder if people would be interested in that, and we can do a reset here, a fresh start. We can beat all the foreign elements out, like the head of state, the multinational mining companies, all those bad guys. And we can deal with the people here. I think it's a win-win. Why are we still subject to the British Crown and things like that, Most countries celebrate the day they booted the colonisers out, the Crown out of their country. But Australia celebrates the day they arrived, it's a little bit backward. And so, there's an opportunity. Listen, we call it chuck the turd, do the royal flush, drain the sewer, So that's what can happen with this court case. I really believe that the royal family or the Crown is responsible for the crimes against Aboriginal people. It was their call that they never got consent. They occupied this land on lies. They live on the proceeds of criminal, intentional, premeditated genocide and what all that represents. So this is potentially an opportunity to throw the Crown out.
Yeah.
And it's really not up to the oppressors and the colonisers. This is going to happen anyway. So get on board, folks. This is it. This is game over. Checkmate. Yeah. And end of the day in terms of colonialism. It's none too soon, Colonialism is caused ecocide, because that comes with genocide. And you don't want to go to the other projection of those two things, the suicide, you know. Mm. So you want to, you know, think about it. It's an opportunity to stop it.
And, yeah, we're starting our Crime Scene Australia radio show here on 3CR next Monday, the 25th of May, from 11 a.m. till 12 p.m, which will be taking over from Uncle Robbie's radio show, The Black Block, and we'll be discussing all things Crime Scene Australia related, and looking at it from like a legal perspective, and kind of the history of all the different legal cases that Uncle Robbie's been involved in, and that, you know, have, and Uncle Kev, and all the great Aboriginal activists have been doing for the last...
Oh, that sounds really exciting. Yeah, like 50 years. I'll be still hanging around.
Yeah, Robbie will be a reoccurring guest.
Yes, I'll be involved. I'll be there with you. And that sounds really exciting. Yeah. Are you excited about it?
Yeah, I'm pretty nervous.
Ah, you're right. You'll be fine. You're a killer, brother. Thanks for listening to a 3CR podcast. To listen to a full audio of Bunjil's Fire radio show, a historically informed critical analysis of Aboriginal affairs and the ongoing political movement for land rights, treaty, sovereignty and the cessation of genocide, go to 3cr.org.au/Bunjil's Fire. If you want to support independent black media on 3CR, please go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online.